For the past 10 weeks or so, we've been looking at discipleship, and I made a number of points around the fact that we can look at discipleship from a perspective of just doing things for Christ. We can look at discipleship from so many perspectives that are action-based. And what I mentioned was the fact that even though there are things that we can do as Christians, there are things that we want to do, there are things that we think we should be doing, all that's fine. However, we need to put all those in the context of knowing Christ. And we looked at a number of other things as well. So what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to summarize in a nutshell what we've been looking at, and I'll highlight the main points. So there are three main points that I just want to highlight this morning that will sum up all that we've been doing around discipleship. The first is this: God has a plan for you. The second thing I'll be looking at in this summary is the fact that discipleship is primarily about knowing God. And the third thing I'll look at is the Holy Spirit and how He helps us to fulfill, you know, what Christ has, what Christ wants us to do, and to also teach us about God as well. So I'll look at those three things this morning. So the first one I want to look at, which is really important for every single one of us, and it is the basis of our Christian faith. And that's the fact that God has a distinct plan for each and every one of us. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says something there. God says here, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, this is really important for us to understand as the basis of our faith, the basis of our relationship with God, because if we don't have a clear and true perspective of what God, how God views us, then it will hinder our relationship with God. If we think God is out to get us, it will hinder our walk with Him. Again, if we take it to the extreme and we just think that, you know, God is just out there and we're down here and he doesn't want to really have anything to do with us, he's just asking us to get on with it, again, that will not really help us to understand God fully and to come into like proper discipleship. So the first thing we understand from God's perspective to every individual, now this is not talking to everyone as a group, it's talking to each individual. So even though there are millions and billions of people on the earth, this is a singular thing. It relates to you specifically. And it says He has a plan for you. But God didn't stop there saying He has a plan for you. He says it's a good plan. It says its plan is a plan not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. So He qualifies this plan that He has for us, that it's not just a random plan. He defines it that it's a plan to give us hope, it's a plan to give us a future, and it's a good plan for each and every one of us. So bearing that in mind, we can rest assured that anything that God asks us to do, anything that God says in the Bible about us, it's with the intention that we will arrive at the destination that He has for us. And as we go along that destination, He's with us every step of the way to give us hope. Do you understand? To give us a future. This is really important. Now, the other thing as well, under the fact that God has a plan for us, is in the book of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. It says, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past." If you look at the next one, so if you open 43, 18 and 19 together, if you look at 18 and 19 together, thank you. So in God's plan, He's saying, look, in the previous verse that we, in the previous scripture we read in Jeremiah 29, 11, He said, look, I have a plan to give you hope and a future. So that's looking into the future. But in going along with God's plan as well, He also says something to us that is really important. And What he says in Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19 is this. He says, look, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Why? He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So as part of God's plan for us, he's saying, look, I have a future for you. I want to give you hope. However, if you're going to work, if you're going to move ahead, you need to forget the past. You need to not only forget the past. He says, don't dwell on it. So those are two things. So there's the issue where, okay, you haven't forgotten the past and you're really dwelling on it. So this is saying, look, in God's plan, your past doesn't really matter. What matters is this point going forward. And God is making that distinction. Is making that distinction for us, saying, forget about the past and let's just move on to the future. Why? Because your future is a good future. Your future is one that I'm giving you like really good hope. So he says we should forget the past and go forward and look forward to the future plans that he has for us. Now, the third thing about God's plans for us is this. I highlighted at the very start that in God's plan, the very step is becoming born again. Now, what does it mean to become born again? If you look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what does it mean to be born again? If you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Now, what this means is becoming a believer, becoming a Christian. And it says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So what this means is that it is not good enough just to attend church meetings. It's not good enough to just read your Bible and all these things. These things are fantastic. But God is saying that the first thing we need to do first is to be born again, to have that relationship with him as the foundation of the plans that he has for us. Now, someone might ask, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean? Well, it simply means that we place our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation so that we become new creatures in Christ. So that's the basis of our faith. And that is the beginning of the plans that God has for every individual. All right. So we've looked at the fact that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is a good one. And he wants us to leave the past behind and to move forward into the future and not dwell on the past. Now, the second thing that we spoke about is knowing God. John chapter 17, verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So we begin to see something here that apart from the fact of, we've looked at, you know, the plans God has for us for the future, forgetting the past. He now makes a distinction here that our Christian walk is primarily knowing God. Our lives as believers is primarily knowing God. And I remember when I first really understood this passage, it really, you know, took me back. And I said, what? What is the Christian faith about? Is this just, you know, is this the primary thing? And it says, yes. It says, now. This is eternal life. So eternal life is not something that we attain when we get to heaven. Eternal life is not something that is only futuristic. Jesus said eternal life is now. We begin to live that life that Christ has given us. We begin to live that life that will be similar to the life that we're going to live in heaven right now. And what does this involve? He says, we begin to experience eternal life as we know Christ. Now, there's a difference between knowing Christ and knowing about Christ. Who is God to you, really, personally? And Jesus says that there is a journey that we can take in life. And as we begin to know God, we will begin to experience eternal life. Now, without making this complicated at all, we can look at it the same way we get to know our friends as well. And what does that mean? That means, well, looking at the Bible, reading the Bible, having this kind of conversation that we're having. But when we read the Bible, it's not reading the Bible with the intention of just gathering knowledge, Bible. Do you know you can read the Bible in two ways? You can read it with the sense that this is God writing to me. And you read it from that perspective that, wow, is this what God is saying about me? Is this what God is like? Are these the things that God is describing? You can read it that way. Or you can read it like the chap that found the letter that I left in the hotel. And it's just, oh, these are words. Okay, well, I mean, what's all this? Christ, okay, he died on the cross. He went to Jerusalem. And you read it from a factual perspective. Do you understand? But Jesus is saying this. We can begin to know God as we open our hearts to the Bible. As we pick up the Bible and we read the Bible as a letter to us from God. Do you understand? Now, as we begin to read the Bible that way, something begins to happen. You know, you'll begin to understand God more. God will begin to communicate more and more to your heart. And something will begin to happen to your life. That way you begin to pray to God as well. And God begins to really show you different things about him. The same thing with Christ. The same thing with God. That we can know God through his word. Do you understand what I mean? So Jesus said that knowing God is eternal life. The third thing is this. The Holy Spirit helping us. Now, last week and the week before, I began to mention that God hasn't left us to just, you know, go on in life by ourselves, to just try our best and see how things go. He said to his disciples when he was about to leave them, when he was on earth here physically, he said, look, I'm not going to leave you guys alone by yourself. I'm going to send someone to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. They left everything that they had. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were doing different things. And they followed him. When they had problems, I mean, there was a time that the tax man came to them and said, pay your tax. And what did Jesus do? He just said, you know what, Peter, you just go to the river down the road, cast the net, you catch a fish, open the mouth of the fish, and there, your bill's paid. So can you imagine if you came to church one day and you said, oh, pastor, I've got these people knocking at my door, they want to repossess my car, but I know that doesn't happen in the UK, it only happens in America. And I just say, you know what, no problem, just go to River 7, just chuck a line in there, you get one fish, open the mouth of the fish, and there you go. And you're like, really? I said, yeah, go for it. And you do so, and that actually happens. How would you feel? There was a time that there was a crowd of over 5,000 people, and the disciples came to Christ. We're stuck. We need to feed these people. What are we going to do? Even if we went into the village and we spent all the, we wouldn't be able to feed them. He said, don't worry. What have you guys got? They brought, one guy had two fish, loaves of bread. He multiplied it. He fed the whole 5,000. Peter's mother-in-law was ill. Jesus went there. Bible says he touched her. She became well. So these guys were living in the cloud, if I can use that word, because they knew that, you know what, anything that happens, Christ is here for us. If I need money, no problem. If I'm hungry, I need to, no problem. If I need to sort anything out, Jesus is there. So they must have been walking on clouds, thinking, this is the life. Extremely happy. Then one day, Jesus told them, guys, I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere. And they said, no problem, we'll come with you. Are you going to Syria? Let's go. And he said, no, you can't come with me this time around. And they said, what? He said, yes, that at the moment where I'm going, you can't. Then they began to panic. In fact, Peter even said, no way are you going to be crucified. You're not going anywhere. They began to panic. And I don't know what was going through their minds. They probably were thinking, my goodness, we're finished. Who's going to help us? Who's going to help us pay our bills? Who's going to look after us? Do you understand? And they panicked. And Jesus understood that. But he said to them, I'm not going to leave you guys just on your own. I'm going to ask the Father to send another person, the Holy Spirit, to help you. So you had Jesus with them physically. And if anybody wanted to see Jesus, they had to wait their turn. But Jesus was saying to them that it is better that I go away so that I will send someone to you, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you and in you. So that's exactly what he did. And he mentioned a number of things that the Holy Spirit will do. He said that the Holy Spirit will teach them all things and teach us all things. He mentioned that the Holy Spirit will strengthen them. He mentioned that they would receive boldness from the help of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus left the Holy Spirit with us as believers. So it would seem as if as you're walking about, even though you can't see the Holy Spirit, he's right there beside you. So it's as if you have Jesus with you 24/7. Do you understand? To help you. To speak to you. Do you understand? So that's what Jesus said. So wrapping up this thing about discipleship, we see that God has a plan for us. We also see that as part of this plan, the main thing is knowing God. And as we get to know God and as we carry on in this journey of life, God has not left us alone. He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. So I'm going to stop there today as the end of our discipleship lesson. But I just want us to pray this morning. And what I would like us to pray about is it's good that we've looked at the discipleship series. We've looked at all these things. But what is better still is that we really understand these things and that we really take them to heart. That we can begin a journey with God today that will take us to a place of eternal life. We can begin a journey with God today that will not just be based on our effort, will not just be based on our strength, but based on the power and the help of God. So I'd like us to just rise up this morning and just pray.